What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, no calls this week. You know, you can call and text us, it's okay. But if you don't want to, that's fine, because we have social media and email and everything else. Speaking of which, we got an email this week from Mitch B. Hey Dark Trio, I was curious, what are your top horror finale showdowns? I think many ghost stories do not have a satisfying way of defeating a ghost. A couple of the top of my head would be Silence of the Lambs or Jaws. Thanks and keep up the good work. This was a rabbit hole I did not expect to fall down quite as severely as I did. So I was thinking, oh, I'll have like my top one or two instead of 7, 8, 9, 10. Why don't we start out with Megan, who's back?
Megan's back. Yay.
It's a me. Megan. I was going to say Mario, but I'm not Mario.
You are not Mario.
I'm not Mario.
Could be.
Well, luckily, I didn't go down a rabbit hole for this question. I'm only going to give you one so that you can list off your 7 and 8 and 9 or whatever. Because I got to this answer right away, and I'm like, I don't know how to top this. So that's 2013's Evil Dead. I don't know how you top that finale.
Yeah.
Blood, downpour, torrential downpour, losing limbs in gross ways, the abomination.
Blood going down, blood coming up.
Blood goes everywhere. And, you know, I don't know how you top that. So, yeah, I just was like, yep, I'm satisfied. I stopped there.
Okay. Well, no, see, now I feel it. Weird not having one.
What? No. We usually are the ones that are running down our lists, and you're like, I could only think of one.
Of one, which will be the next question.
So the tables have turned.
How about you, Xena, before we get to my rambling?
You know what? Just like Megan, I only picked one. I don't know.
God,
there was just something, yeah, something about this. I do love a good scuffle. So what came to mind for me, it follows. You know, at the end, it's kind of like Jay, Paul, Kelly, and Yara, like they're up against the entity and they're in a pool. Well, Jay's in the pool and they're trying to electrocute it. Like, it's wild. So it's just like, I don't know. And then you think, oh yeah, they defeated it. But it's like, did they? You know? So it's cool stuff.
I love that.
If I had to pick one.
But you could pick 7.
My number one, and maybe because it's also timely, is the original Scream.
Okay.
You just can't beat original Skeet Ulrich. You can't beat Matthew Lillard. It's getting a little woozy, man. Like, my mom and dad are going to be pissed.
I'm like, so sad just, for him.
Oh, my God. It's... And thanks to Paramount Plus, like all the Scream movies are available right now. I recommend going out and watching it. It was really funny. We were rewatching Scream 5, I think, over the weekend. And my wife goes, it needed more skeet. And I was like, first of all, that doesn't mean what it used to mean.
Right.
So be careful what you're saying. And second of all, I agree. I love the original Scream ending. And then besides Scream, I had Aliens, the classic confrontation at the very end with Sigourney Weaver and the Queen. Spoilers. The Descent. I love The Descent. I love all the versions of this Descent ending. I think there's three, actually, and they all work for me. The Thing. Yeah. I just, that ending, I know it's not even necessarily a confrontation resolution. That's a great ending, though.
But just which one?
Let's just sit here a while.
Okay.
Like when Kurt Russell, when it's him and Childs just sitting there and he's like, let's just sit here a while. I love that.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2. I love Evil Dead 2, especially like the build up, you know, the arming scene, like, you know, the best preparing for battle scene until John Wick, as far as I'm concerned. I love the build up to The Shining. I think that ends so well with Danny fooling him in the hedge maze, which is a really good ending compared to what the original was, like not having the boiler be the issue like in the book. And this kind of came out of nowhere 28 days later.
I love that.
Cillian Murphy all of a sudden just going, like coming back. Mm-hmm. Again, spoilers. But if you haven't seen it, like I thought there's actually like a third act lull for me personally. But it circles around really well, and I think it ends great, like that I really loved. So, yeah, that was my unnecessarily long list.
Love
of,
it.
Of, yeah, final showdowns.
Go John!
Yeah.
Yay me. Now, for a much, much shorter list for me, which I suppose it should just be favorite anyway, but I only have one answer. And this was a DM from Christina V. What's your favorite Amityville movies? The first one, because it's the only one I've seen.
Whoa.
I know. I didn't know there were so many until you guys started talking about them.
We don't even know. We should
not.
Such
a blind spot. No.
That's
we
terrible.
Learned our lesson with Children of the Corn.
But I think it'll be so much fun because as the franchise goes on, it gets more and more insane.
So does Children of the Corn.
We should, yeah. We should
the leprechaun went to space. It doesn't mean I don't want to watch it again.
But it's
Amityville
funny.
Goes to space. It goes down the toilet. It goes everywhere.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, Xena, what's your favorite Amityville
movie?
Oh,
man. Okay, well, I actually have five. I wanted to give my top five.
Five?
This one I can go in. Just like Children of the Corn.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay,
love it.
Well.
Love it.
Obviously, the first one from 79, because it's like perfection.
Classic.
Yeah, and I feel like it scared the life out of me when I saw it as a kid, and it still kind of does. And then I'm going to say the 2005 version, because with that one, I remember going to the theaters, and it creeps me out. There's a particular scene that involves a little girl in a closet that just made me want to die. And whenever I watch it, it gives me all the feels, because it takes me back to my teenage years, like, it was just wonderful. And then I'm going to say now Amityville 4, The Evil Escapes. That's the made-for-TV one with the evil lamp, and it's very ugly. But I may or may not want that lamp. Who knows? So that's pretty cool.
You do.
Then, Megan, also, you talked about the Amityville dollhouse version.
Yes.
With the little nerdy kid. He was so
annoying. Yes, yes. Yeah.
This is a 96 one, so it feels very, like, 90s cheese. And, like, this dad randomly just gives his daughter a dollhouse that is, like, a model of the Amityville house. And it's haunted. It's, like, crazy stuff happens and... You know, I don't know who would want the dusty old whatever. Anyway, and then just the last one I'm going to go with, and I always get a lot of like slack for this one, but I don't care. Okay. I'm going to go with Amityville, The Awakening from 2017. There was some pushback with that one. I'm not saying that it's perfect, but I had a good time with it. This one came out in 2017, and I just thought it had a nice little feel to it. It did feel a little bit rushed, but there are some creepy parts. Also, if you're a fan of the Australian horror, Patrick, you might as well should just be a fan of this one.
You might as well.
Xena, this is a safe horror space. You can love what
Thank you
love.
Yeah,
thank you
exactly.
You don't need to defend yourself.
I'm tired. It's been a long Monday.
Oh, it kind of has. Did you already say it's about time, or is it about time not on
no,
that list?
No, I didn't say it's about time.
Uh-oh. I don't know if I feel like that one is on mine anyway, but I kind of appreciate the bold swings of it. I like the weirder one. So, like, Amityville 2, which is really sleazy, but I like it because it's so sleazy and weird and creature-y. It's just a complete tonal shift, so I think that one is probably at the top. And, like, Dollhouse. Could I say Dollhouse is good? Probably not, but I like the weirdness that it does. It's very 90s horror, and that finale where they're actually like, here's some demons and a wizard and a laser light show. I mean, you're not going to be bored. So, yeah.
Love it.
Well, it's about time for the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone. The podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world and help us discuss the disgusting. She's back. You know her as the lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic, and Jet Set South by Southwest journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
And you know her from a YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, infinite love for the genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
And I'm John. I've been around.
I've been around.
If you're listening to this on Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe the things that'll make you smile too. So, Megan, what you been up to?
Just a little festival in Austin called South by Southwest.
Just a little festival.
Just a little thing.
Little indie scene.
No, it's a massive festival. Like, I'm exhausted. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. If you're following on socials, I did post a little bit of the fest from our account. But I come bearing gifts-ish. I feel like I'm bringing a Xena movie, a John movie, and an Everybody movie. So one of the movies that I enjoyed a lot was called It Lives Inside. This one is already acquired by Neon, and they are scheduling. But yeah, Neon is going to release this sometime later this year. They don't have a date yet, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time. This one is a high school set horror movie, which is why I feel like it's perfect for Xena. But it's about a girl named Sam. She is Indian American. Her parents immigrated, and so she's, you know, American born, but she's desperate to fit in at school. She kind of rejects her Indian culture and her family's customs to kind of fit in. And that also meant leaving her BFF behind. But her BFF, her former BFF, comes to school holding this jar. She's not been sleeping. She's got this jar. She's talking crazy. And Sam ends up kind of breaking that jar and letting a demon loose. And so, there's a lot of horror that, in this, that feels very familiar, like The Ring and whatnot, but the demon stuff, the lore is very new, very fresh. The characters are very likable. It just builds into something that's really cool. And I feel like Xena would definitely very much dig it.
Ooh.
And then the John movie that is also very enjoyable. This is Late Night with the Devil. It does not have any release or acquisition news just yet. I'm sure that's only a matter of time. But this is like a found footage-y movie that is set in 1977 with a late night talk show host who decides he wants to get a ratings boost by having a live Halloween televised event. But, you know, it all goes horribly wrong when you have like demonically possessed people and psychics and parapsychologists and all of that stuff in the mix. This is the star as the late night TV host is David Dastmalchian. I feel like you've seen him everywhere. Mm-hmm. He is fantastic. This is by the Scare Campaign directors, who also, you know, so they did horror comedy.
Oh,
this one's a little bit more serious. But yeah, they do the late night talk show things so well. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, I think you would really dig this one a lot. It kind of veers off. You think it's gonna be familiar, and then it just like goes somewhere like completely bug nuts. So it's fun.
I forget, did Deadstream premiere at South by
last year? Yes, it did.
Okay, because I remember you talking about South by, like, John's really going to look forward to this when he can see it in October.
Yeah.
And you're very much right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
This is this year's. I think you're going to dig that one. And then nice. I caught the world premiere of Evil Dead Rise, one of my most anticipated of the year. Yeah, that will be in theaters next month, April 21st. And this one is by Lee Cronin, who directed The Hole in the Ground. And it is about two sisters. They have a reunion. They've been a little estranged with their own lives for a while, and they reunite, except it's cut short when, you know, deadites enter the equation. It is very, very bloody. I have to admit that I was very entertained. I enjoyed this. I didn't love it as strongly as I expected to. That's not saying much. I just feel like, you know, I don't know if that's helpful to temper expectations, because I feel like I was in the minority where I still really, really enjoyed it. I want to stress that, but I wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing since sliced bread.
So you were in the minority as like a 4-star versus a 5-star for other
like
viewers,
a 3.5 for me out of 5 versus like a lot of 4.5s, and you know, which you know, everybody's different. I just figured like it might help with tempering expectations, or maybe not. Maybe you will love it. Maybe you'll be like me. But I think that there's some stuff that didn't work for me as well. And then there's a lot of stuff that works so, so well. The second act is incredible. Awesome. The gore and violence is incredible. There's an entire sequence done through a peephole of a department door, like, you know, the department people, that's like brilliant. But yeah, it's an Evil Dead movie. I sincerely hope we don't have to wait another 10 years for another one. And you know, like, even if it wasn't like a 5-star, it's still a whole lot of fun that'll leave you cheering and clapping and see it on the big screen. So yeah,
nice.
We just want to be you, Megan.
Oh, come with me.
I don't tempt me. Like, I will go to South by Southwest, go see two movies, and then hide in my hotel room the rest of the time.
Well, that sounds no fun. There's a lot of tacos and barbecue to be had.
I will take those back to my room.
I will go and be antisocial. Don't you stop me.
In the best possible way.
Yeah.
All right, Zena, what'd you watch?
I checked out Nomads from 1986 on Shudder. There is a French anthropologist who specializes in nomadic groups. He moves into a new home with his in Los Angeles with his wife. And, you know, they're just ready to settle down because, you know, they've been living abroad. And it's just like, oh, look at us in our cute little home. Yeah. Okay. But then soon, you know, as they move in, there's this mysterious, sinister street punk gang who's just, they seem too interested in their home for some reason. Why? We don't know. It's a very mysterious reason. You know, they lurk around outside and they're driving around in their black dusty van. So then the anthropologist, his name is Gene, he decides that he wants to follow them one day, and he discovers something about them, something very, very disturbing. So let me just say, I'm going to sound really thirsty right now, and I don't care. I watched this with my husband, and he listens, so he knows. He already knows my feelings, okay? I'm a woman. So, yeah, this was a first-time watch for me. And, you know, I would always hear, let me put my hair behind my ear. I would always hear that Pierce Bronson, you know, women and people just going crazy, like, oh, Pierce Bronson. I'm like, really? That's Stu from Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, you know, I know that he's James Bond, but remember when Mrs. Doubtfire threw a lime at the back of his head?
He almost choked on the pepper. Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible. So, you know, he's Stu. And I understand he was like James Bond, but my God, he is a very spicy man. I don't know what was going on with him in the 80s. He just looks like, whoa, you know, like I just couldn't concentrate.
I love this.
But, you know,
just as a little side note, Pierce, if you're listening, 224-475-1040.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, again, I was watching with my husband. We both were in agreement, you know, because it's just like, because, you know, you'd always hear that and stuff like that. Like, you know, when people talk about, you know, other men and stuff, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I see it around, you know, but with him, I didn't see it. But then I don't know, there's something going on. Anyway, so back to the movie. This is a really good movie, though. I was a little bit distracted with his good looks, but I really did enjoy it. Like, it just threw me off guard. I'm like, Stu? But yeah, it's action packed. There's some dark supernatural stuff that's going on. And the ending like literally gave me chills. Like, I really enjoyed this movie. It does have like a very slow pacing to it. But it's weird because it has that slow pacing, but it is still full of like action. Yeah. And it's cool because the director, John McTiernan, he's known for his action movies. So he directed Predator, Die Hard, Last Action Hero. So it kind of feels like that. But yeah, it's a really, really cool movie. And it was a first time watch for me. I've honestly never even heard of it before until I saw it popped up on Shudder. And really enjoyed it. So yeah, if you want to see a hot man in a good movie, you might as well should watch Nomads.
I love this.
It. Yeah. Then the second thing I checked out, I binged Swarm from 2023. Just came out on Prime Video. A young woman's obsession with a pop star takes a dark turn. This series is so wild and bloody and hilarious. If you didn't know... Yeah, it's based on the Beehive. You know, Beyonce's never mentioned in the series, but it's crystal clear who it is. And yeah, it's basically just about a disturbed fan and the things that this girl does. It's sad, but then there's some stuff that's kind of funny, you know. Yeah, like just because she was just obsessed with this celebrity, someone who doesn't even know who she is. But yeah, it touches on like mass media, online fandom. There are only 7 episodes, so I took a break because I was trying to like save some episodes, but you can totally watch it in one day because there's 7 episodes, but the episodes are about like 30, 35 minutes long. Mm. Yeah, it was a good time.
I did watch the first episode last night. I haven't gotten very far at all, but it's wild because yeah, I'm like the opening intro is, you know how they give you the warnings, this any basis on real people or events is not intended. This is flat out saying, no, it is intentional. That's the warning. Yeah. Is like, this is intentional. And then it's Houston. So me being I know this. This is very familiar. And of course, Beyonce is from Houston. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just need to keep watching.
To quote Scream 5, how can a fandom be toxic?
Oh boy, can it ever.
Twitter's involved. So.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. But there you go. So that's what I checked out.
I love
John.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say I had the same feels you did this week. I did not.
No hot Pierce Brosnan?
I did not have a Pierce Brosnan moment.
Oh, we're going to have to fix that for you.
Megan, I saved this just for you. 2022's Piggy on Hulu. I decided not to talk about it this week. I figured I might as well wait to hear your take on it first. An overweight teen is bullied by a clique of cool girls poolside while holidaying in her village. A long walk home will change the rest of her life. All right, Megan, why this one?
Because I feel like it's a very deeply fascinating choice. You see a lot of bullied characters and bullied like themes in horror, but this one really kind of is more interested in the moral ramifications of being bullied. And that was deeply fascinating for me. And I wondered how that would kind of color your watch.
I mean, the two things off the top of my head is bravo to the lead actress. Like, as a larger girl, I'm sure she suffered plenty of comments growing up. So to put yourself on Front Street, not wearing a lot of clothes for a lot of this movie, like it was an insanely brave thing to do. Like, that's tough because you're inviting people watching that movie to make comments on how you look then on top of it in this movie about bullying. And then the bullies, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like that, if you have a problem watching movies about bullying, the first half hour of this movie is going to be real tough to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, it was uncomfortable. I mean, it was a really, I'd never seen a take on bullying like this before.
Right.
Like, just the way they decided to shoot it, because like you said, because of the ramifications, the implications, the, when a bullied person is put in that situation and then I obviously don't want to give stuff away.
Right.
Go watch it yourself. It's on Hulu. It's low barrier to entry on this one. But there's even a point in the movie where much later in the movie, she's breaking down saying, I try and I always make the wrong choice. That even when she thinks she's doing the right thing in the moment. Like, she is so filled with guilt.
Yeah.
Because of the people around her that have been abusing her and posting horrible things on social media, her own family, the way they've treated her and the way they act toward her and everything else, that she doesn't have the switch inside of her that says, no, this was the right thing to do. Now, given this particular situation, it's totally subjective right. What the right thing to do is. It's, yeah. It's an individual preference. But it's so complicated. Like, the answer is complicated. I honestly know how I felt watching certain ones of those scenes.
Yeah.
But she is also a clearly, deeply emotional character. She is not apathetic. Like, she is not dead inside.
She's a teenager.
She's so conflicted. Yeah. You feel nothing but sympathy for, I mean, I would hope someone watching would feel nothing but sympathy for her, for how tormented she is, not just for how she's treated, but her own decisions.
Yeah.
Like, it's very deep and complicated and tough to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's tough to watch. There's not a whole lot of moments where you're like let your breath out, like, okay, there's a little bit of humor, a little levity, like a little break. No, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough watch. It's excellently done. It was very brave of the actor and just the production in general. So yeah, I recommend it, but it's
not like a light one.
If you have a hard time with bullying, oof, yeah. And then I watched 1981's Bloody Moon on Tubi. Per IMDb, girls are killed at a language school in Spain. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got for a synopsis. Wikipedia is far more detailed if anybody's curious. But why this one, Zena?
Because I felt like you needed sleaze. And then also, when it comes to Jess Franco, it's either with his movies, either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. And I don't know, you can't help but admire him because he has he did over 200 films. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know, it's pretty awesome what he did with the American slasher genre and Italian giallo and how he sometimes meshed them together. Just with sleaze.
It's sleaze.
So there's a review of this movie, and normally I don't quote review. I've never quoted a review on this podcast as far as I can tell. This one was on Wikipedia as I was kind of looking through some of the production notes on it. And I felt like I wanted to quote. I'm not going to say who it's by. If you want to go on Wikipedia, you see it yourself. But appallingly, I don't even know this word. I'd never seen this word before. Meretricious, which is like evidently without merit. Schlock, which looks as if it's been slung together using discarded outtakes from a dozen different pot boilers, and that the film has no visible means of support from either plot or characterization. The action simply staggers from one lurid climax to the next.
So you loved it. Is that what you're saying?
Someday I'm going to make a movie, and I want this to be my review. I get it. This is... something's lost in translation, I think, with some of the dialogue and what's going mm-hmm. on, and you get a little bit lost. Yeah, it's... You're looking for the kills. You're looking at the kills. The stuff between is kind of like, what? I'm not quite sure who's happening, what's happening to who now, what? All I could think of when I was looking at the main suspect's face is that episode of The Simpsons where Lisa tricks them into thinking that they've got leprosy by putting oatmeal on their face. It's some funny paint or some funny makeup effects on them. It's a movie. Yeah. It's like 90 minutes long.
It's a movie.
There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. Opening and ending credits. And there's actors.
So we're just going to say that you liked it. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool
yeah.
beans.
It was not my favorite movie in the world. There were some interesting kills.
Yeah.
I will give them the kills. There were some certain kills I'd never seen before, like the Iron Collar and stuff like that. You know what? It's schlocky. It just is.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, if you like schlocky movies, or even like trauma style movies, go for it. Yeah.
For
like,
sure.
It wasn't necessarily my bag. But You know, there's plenty of movies that I love that other people look at like, what? How can you watch that over and over again? I'm like, because it's just fun. And this just didn't tickle the same fun, like funny bone that my other like cheesy slashers hit.
Yeah.
I do see the merits of what this is. It just didn't hit for me.
Okay.
I am so political with my answers.
No, I mean, it's too bad because if you were like, yeah, I loved it, then I had another Just Franco for you. But
I'm glad I didn't lie then.
Yeah. You know, then I feel like I gave you one that's pretty tame compared to his other stuff. But okay.
Tame in what regard?
As far as it goes, well, the kill scenes are always just like, in my opinion, top notch. But, you know, with, you know, there's not always like, you know, naked girls and stuff. I feel like this was a lot tamer. Like some of his other movies, just like, how is she naked? Naked again, you know? So
there was a couple of scenes where all of a sudden I was just like, that girl's just naked. She's just by the pool naked. I'm like, I guess that's a European thing, but she's the only one with her boobs out. I don't know what's happening here.
Okay, but now we know.
Yeah. So a little more litmus test for me. Speaking of boobs out, and then I watched 2016's Autopsy of Jane Doe. Oh. I'm sorry. I know it's crass. I can't ignore the fact that there's just a naked woman on the table for 90% of the movie. I watched it on Tubi. It's available on Tubi. I wasn't going to talk about it. And then I looked back. Thank you, Robert Prudhomme, for keeping track of all the movies we've watched. We haven't talked about this yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a weird movie not to have talked about.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you haven't seen it, a father and son, both coroners, are pulled into a complex mystery while attempting to identify the body of a young woman who is apparently harboring dark secrets. You know, this is like my third or fourth time watching Autopsy of Jane Doe. It is so good. I mean, Brian Cox makes everything better anyway. His presence
great.
In any movie is so good. Emile Hirsch is really good. Just the general idea. Coroners are inherently creepy. Like, just what you have to do, you're cutting open dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But then to have a horror mystery inside of it that just keeps unraveling in, honestly, just really cool ways. Like, all of a sudden you're like, what is going on there? And you have no idea what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. Like the actual scares, that's the way they use with mirrors and shadows and just the confined space and the body drawers and everything. Oh my God. It's like, it's one of those movies, you know, those movies where if you see it on TV, you have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, it's like Goodfellas or something like that. Like it's, or Blues Brothers, these classic movies I grew up with. This is turning into that. If I'm clicking through streaming or something and Autopsy of Jane Doe is on, I'll totally watch this. It's so good. It's just such a cool premise. It's another one of those, like, why aren't there more horror movies in like a coroner's office or a morgue? Wouldn't that make sense? It's already freaky as hell. Then on top of it, you made this mystery that I've never seen before
in
a movie with this specific kind of topic. So yeah, go watch Autopsy of Jane Doe. I'm just saying.
Just real quick, I have to say something about it. I love that movie. I remember when I first checked it out, I was still working at my 9-to-5, and it was like kind of around New Year's, and I wanted to have like extra hours, so I was by myself in the office in my little cubicle watching it. I was so freaked out during the daytime. It was it's such a creepy movie.
Because it's the same director who did Troll Hunter, right? Of all movies, it went from Troll Hunter to Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Hmm.
It's like, and which Troll Hunter is also fantastic. Go watch Troll Hunter too. But yeah, that was made me happy. And I watched Scream 6. We'll talk about that some other time though. Okay, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it?
I watched It Lives Inside at South By, which is coming. It'll come to theater sometime this year. Late Night with the Devil and Evil Dead Rise. All of it at South By, Evil Dead Rise in theaters next month. And eventually, I'm sure Late Night with the Devil will arrive.
I checked out Nomads on Shudder and Swarm on Amazon Prime.
I watched Piggy on Hulu, Bloody Moon on Tubi. There's a lot of movies called Blood Moon or The Blood Moon or some sort of Blood Moon variation. Bloody Moon. it will not be the first result to pop up if you look for it. And then The Autopsy of Jane Doe, also on Tubi. All right. Homework time, I guess.
I guess.
What should I be watching? I guess. There are some really weird looking ones on Tubi that I could watch. So maybe I should be pointed in another direction. Megan, you've been gone. What should I watch?
I feel like you've talked about it, but refresh my memory. You've seen Horror in the High Desert, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the sequel is coming out.
Okay. That's what I was going to assign you, the sequel.
Oh, is it available to actually stream now?
It's on VOD, but it's like $3.
Oh, I'll totally. Yeah, I'll rent that. Yeah, one super fan, Stefan, like mentioned that like the sequel was coming out. And I went, I saw the trailer and I thought that it was going to be available on Prime, but I didn't see it. When I searched it, nothing popped up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will definitely check that out. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's a good one. In the High Desert 2.
Minerva.
All right, Zina.
Okay. Have you seen Monster Party 2018?
That's the found footage one, right?
No.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. It
sounds really, what am I thinking of? The hell was Monster?
There is the one that's called something. Yeah, Monster
Project. It's Monster Project that I'm thinking of. No, I haven't seen Monster Party.
Okay. It is available on Tubi.
Nice.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
All right, enough about what we've been watching. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what has been going on, Megan?
A lot of stuff. Jordan Peele has more movies on the way. It was announced that the next film by Jordan Peele is coming to the big screen in time for Christmas of 2024, not this Christmas, next Christmas. Universal Pictures, which released the filmmaker's prior features Get Out, Us, and Nope, added an untitled fourth film directed by Jordan Peele to its release calendar. It is actually scheduled currently for a theatrical release on Christmas Day, December 25th, 2024. On its current date, that means that his film will be coming a week after James Cameron's Avatar, if you're into that. So per usual for Peele's films, details are under lock and key, which means that Christmas Day feature might not even be genre. We don't know. However, they did also announce that there's an untitled Monkey Paw horror thriller arriving September 27th, 2024. So there's going to be two Peele movies next year. One of them definitively will be horror. Jury's still out on the second one. I don't know, but I'm sure we'll all be there regardless. Yes. And then more news of long gestating films finally getting underway. It's only March, but Eli Roth is already celebrating Thanksgiving this month, with Sony announcing that filming is now underway on the slasher. The film is an expansion of Roth's faux trailer seen in the 2007 Grindhouse double feature. It'll be released in theaters worldwide. And it's got a cast. Addison Rae, she's going to star alongside Patrick Dempsey, Jalen Thomas Brooks, Milo Mannheim, Nell Verlack, and Gina Gershon. They are among the cast, which is very interesting. It's got like kind of a surprising Patrick Dempsey, Gina Gershon.
Yeah, Patrick Dempsey. I was just watching him in Scream 3.
Yeah.
For a second. I was like, Patrick Dempsey in horror. And then I remembered. He will do it.
Yeah. Maybe that means he can pop back in the Scream universe when he's done with Thanksgiving. But if you need there a refresh, yeah, if you need a refresher on Thanksgiving, the trailer that was in the Grindhouse block of trailers, this was a gory teaser about a pseudo movie in which a slasher makes his own carving board out of the inhabitants of a Massachusetts town that makes a big annual fuss over the Turkey Day. One of the pivotal scenes in this trailer involved Roth himself separated from his head while in the throes of passion on a date in a convertible.
I forgot about that. It was
popular enough that they'd been talking about doing feature length plans for this movie for like 15 years. So
they made Machete and Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yeah, but people have been asking for this one for a while. So now that it's filming is currently underway, which means it is actually happening. And speaking of movies that nobody really anticipated or had on their bingo card. it was announced in 2021 that CAM filmmakers Issa Maze and Daniel Goldhaber would be writing and directing a brand new Faces of Death remake movie. Faces of Death remake, you say? Yeah. So the original Faces of Death, released in 1978, it's one of the most infamous films of all time, allegedly showcasing real footage of real death. In actuality, much of the footage is staged, gory special effects, so it's not quite as real as it's been touted to be. But yeah, so it's kind of like the early precursor to found footage, possibly, I guess you could consider it. Anyways, it has stars. It is about to really kick into high gear. This thing is happening, and it sounds a lot more interesting than the original. Dacre Montgomery, who's in Stranger Things, and Barbie Ferreira from Euphoria, they are set to star. The plot revolves around a female moderator of a YouTube-like website whose job is to weed out offensive and violent content and who herself is recovering from serious trauma. She stumbles across a group that is recreating the murders from the original film. But in the story primed for the digital age, an age of online misinformation, the question faced are the murders real or faked? I feel like that's a very interesting concept. I feel like if you're going to do a Faces of Death remake that instantly has people groaning when you even mention it, that's a very intriguing concept to take here.
I mean, I'm sold on it. I'm sorry. All you had to say was streaming service. Like,
especially in this age. Yeah. Like, that's actually sounds like the perfect way to reboot something like that.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like something people do all the time with the actual Faces of Death.
Yep.
Cool.
All right, listeners, your turn. Will Thanksgiving pass Thanksgiving as a holiday classic? Are you praying there isn't a scene involving a monkey in the Faces of Death remake? You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bdisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
First, let me just say, are you subscribed to Screenbox yet? What is happening?
Yeah.
Why aren't... Oh, okay.
Stop asking me, Xena. Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, let me
no,
finish.
No, we need those
Shadow
reminders.
Speech. You know, stream, scream, repeat. Okay. All right. Yeah. But if you're not already, please subscribe to Screenbox. It's a good time because the first movie I'm going to be talking about, it comes out on Tuesday, tomorrow. So by the time this episode comes out the 21st, we have Holy Shit. It is a Screenbox original. An architect regains consciousness in a locked porta potty on a building site.
Oh, God.
Site.
This is the German one, isn't it?
It is.
I heard about this.
An architect regains consciousness in a locked porta potty on a building site where a demolition is being prepared. As he desperately tries to escape, he realizes the person behind this is going after his family next. I'm just sold on the whole porta potty thing, you know?
I've been terrified of porta potty since the X-Files.
It's just, it's terrible in there. Okay, then we also have on Friday the 24th, we have Stalker. This will be available on VOD. Rose Hepburn, a young horror actress, returns to her empty hotel. Forced to use the old freight elevator, it jolts to a halt on the 12th floor, leaving her trapped with an unusual stranger. Left with no phone signal as a storm approaches, tensions escalate and suspicions rise as Rose discovers the identity of the mysterious man, Daniel Reed, is a camera operator who is seemingly obsessed with her. Cool thing about this one, legendary wrestler Bret the Hitman Hart, he is in this one. So if you're a wrestling fan.
Oh, we just learned that John is a huge fan of this wrestler.
I was a wrestling fan through the Attitude Era. After that, I kind of tapered off.
Same. Yeah, I kind of like fell off. Apparently, it's still going strong. I mean, obviously, what? It's still going strong.
It's all PG now. It's not as fun.
Yeah, okay. But okay. And then, you know, that's the end of our week. So just in case if you missed it, Scream 6 is still in theaters. You can check it out. 65 is in theaters. Or you know what? Why don't you just check Screenbox? There's movies
on
there.
You should. Yeah.
I will, Xena.
Watch it, John. You only. This is just
me.
Just you.
No one else is listening to this. It's just the three of us.
It's just the three of us. Yeah, we're not putting anything into the ether. Sorry.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me and my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.